You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, May 6th, 2025. It is, I'm glad you asked, another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings. And we appreciate you listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or one of the many other ways to listen to this fine program. Thank you for starting the day right here. I got a question for you. Did it seem like all the trees held a meeting and decided to bloom at once in your neighborhood too? It did for ours. I mean, we've got basswoods. They normally blossom late. Birch are usually early. But they got together with the two little plum trees. They all decided yesterday was the day to blossom. It was absolutely gorgeous here around the lake, which leads to this question. Isn't it great to live in a place where you can be a tourist in your own state? This is National Tourism Week, National Tourism Day, and it has been part of the Up North News DNA since day one to emphasize the many great ways you can enjoy day trips and weekend getaways without ever leaving Wisconsin. We will talk about the size of Wisconsin's tourism sector this morning and focus on one growing section of that industry, and that would be rural tourism. We'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart. She's from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, coming up a little later this morning. Also, some parents are going to learn the hard way next Monday that Wisconsin remains stuck in a crisis over the lack of affordable childcare options. Many childcare providers will shut their doors or close early or take other steps to highlight a national day without childcare, designed to put pressure on lawmakers to do right by families instead of billionaires, do right by the workforce shortage instead of Wall Street, do right by the overall economy, and help parents and daycare providers with this very real problem for the U.S. economy. The Wisconsin legislature has scheduled a busy week of committee hearings, but some of the bills being put forward by Republican lawmakers are retreads, vetoed previously by Governor Evers and sure to be rejected once again, since a lot of folks think legislators could be doing more to help struggling families rather than punishing them for losing their jobs or punishing them for simply being poor. We'll get an update with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media political editor. Ron Johnson has weighed in on all these insane cuts from Donald Trump and Elon Musk. His ruling, not insane enough, more needs to be cut, says the multimillionaire who personally made the tax code more profitable to him. We'll update just how many lawsuits Governor Evers and Attorney General Josh Call have now joined to fight what Trump is doing. Christina Laurie updates the impacts Trump's tariffs will have on Wisconsin businesses. We'll check in on stories around the Wausau area with Chad Holmes. Dan Hagen joins us from Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander. Sherita Booker has some recent popular posts. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has the forecast, including the state forecast here that she's left for me to read to you before we see her in just under an hour. Warmer weather, she says, continues to spill into the state with continued dry conditions. Simple forecast for the state today, sunny and warmer. Big range in temperatures, though. She says low 80s in northwest Wisconsin, only the mid-50s in the southeastern part of the state, with a northwest wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. A few clouds tonight, 40s statewide for lows. Winds will be light and out of the northwest, switching to the northeast. Along the way, feel free to join us here on the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Greg Bach is answering the phones. He and I are looking at the text messages that come in as well, because you can text us at that same number, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also use the Civic Media app to reach the show, or you can put something in the comments section of Facebook or YouTube, or you can email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Over on our social media site for Up North News, we've got a story about Jake Lawler, the executive chef at Madison's Vintage Brewing Company. He's one of 12 contestants competing for $250,000 on NBC's new cooking show, Yes Chef, judged by Martha Stewart and Jose Andres. Each chef was nominated by someone close to them because of a distinct behavior. Jake's, apparently, is his temper. What could possibly go wrong with that? And in our newsletter, the International Crane Foundation, based in Baraboo, is helping protect 15 species of cranes in 50 countries. A little feature about that in our newsletter today. Oh, I did the forecast, but I'll bet I didn't do temperatures at the bus stop here. It's 45 here in Chippewa Falls, 38 in Hayward, 46 in Amory. Wausau's at 48, Wisconsin Rapids 45, La Crosse is at 50 right now. Green Bay is the warm spot in the state at 52 degrees, Madison at 48. It's 48 in the Milwaukee area as well, where down in Radio Park, we do find one Greg Bach resplendent in his Civic Media t-shirt. And like me, having heard about day trips around Wisconsin, dreaming of where we can escape to next, but we promise it won't happen before we're all done here at 9 a.m. Mr. Bach, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today, Pat?
Oh, I'll be fine when I get out and enjoy this sunshine a little bit later.
Right.
It is gorgeous up here. But you heard me talking about day trips, weekend getaways. You are normally working all weekend.
Yeah.
Every weekend.
Yeah.
All the time.
All the time.
That's what you do. But if a genie were to grant your wish, give you a weekend off and say, you got to stay in the confines of Wisconsin, where would you go for a little weekend getaway?
I'd love to visit the Driftless area, Driftless region.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never been out that way, and you all talk about it like it's just a wonderful, beautiful place to be, and just lots of open, quiet, just beautiful landscape, essentially, and I would love to just maybe spend a weekend out there just enjoying maybe a property that has a porch where I can just stare off into the...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, just stare off and enjoy the nature.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Alicia says she's heading down to Milwaukee today for some training, and so she had to get all dressed up. Can't wear your normal, you know, work sweats or whatever you typically wear.
Yeah.
You know how it is on a work trip. It's like, well, you, Saturday night at the WBA. Yeah, you had to clean up real good.
Yeah, that was... It was warm in that room. Holy cow.
I'll bet it was. Yeah. One place I surprisingly haven't been to for as much as I've heard about it, and it would kind of be on the border of the Driftless area in some ways, and that would be the Ice Age Trail. And the Ice Age Trail is essentially that line of demarcation where that's as far down as the glaciers slid before, you know, things warmed up and they retreated and melted and everything. And so, you know, north of that, the land is all scarred. You know, we've got lakes and hills and everything else. But they didn't get as far as the Driftless region. And so that's why it's, you know, kind of the more, what's the word I'm looking for? Undulating hills.
Whoa.
I know. I can't believe the FCC lets me say that. But, you know, I love going to places where you can clearly see where, you know, how far the glaciers got.
Yeah.
And the change in terrain. I do like that. So I'd love to do a section of the Ice Age Trail at some point here. But we'll talk more about other places where folks might want to go. Alicia adds, yeah, no blue collar uniform for me today. Nope.
Boo.
But you know, sometimes it's nice to dress, especially for me now. I mean, part of the reason I said yes to speak at this dinner last Saturday night is that A, I had to get out of the house, and B, I finally had to put on some nice clothes. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not, you know, in a hoodie and shorts here with the sleeves cut off like Bill Belichick or something, but you know, it's pretty casual here.
Yeah.
And it was nice to kind of, you know, put on a blazer and some slacks and go be nice with people, you know. Roger writes in from Stevens Point on Facebook, on a perfectly clear day with no haze, Granddad Bluff is a perfect lookout spot.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
That sounds amazing.
It is. One of Sherry's classmates in med school lives not far from there and did build a home up on one of the bluffs overlooking the river. I mean, we got a nice view here. It's Lake Wissota, okay?
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can just look, and it feels like you can see, you know, if you couldn't see Albert Lee, Minnesota, you could maybe see Sioux Falls, South Dakota. You can just get this view looking west over the river, and it is just, it's amazing. So, yeah, Granddad Bluff right there in that area, too. Why wouldn't you do that for a day trip? Just stay away from the edge of the bluff.
Yeah, okay?
We don't need any news stories out of
this. Exactly, yeah, exactly.
In sports, Christian Yelich hit a two-run homer. Tobias Myers pitched 5 1/3 strong innings, and the Brewers beat the Houston Astros last night 5-1. For Yelich, the home run came in the 1,500th game of his MLB career. So 1,500 games in the books for Yelich. It also helped him break a slump. He'd been 0-for-19 at the plate. But that was nothing compared to third baseman Vinny Capra. He singled in the eighth inning. That was his first hit since April 2nd. He was in a slump of 0-for-36. Nice to see the bats coming back to life here. They will host the Astros again today and then again tomorrow afternoon before they head back on the road. So once again this evening, 6:05 is the start time. For coverage on Civic Media stations across the state, head over to the Civic Media website to learn more. A lot of little headlines to cover here for you. Let's talk about, for example, the many lawsuits that have been filed now by Governor Evers and Attorney General Josh Call against the Trump administration for all the various cuts that they're trying to make. And I have been trying to keep track of them all. And it is no easy task. And I saw in a news story yesterday, it said it was the 18th different lawsuit that has been filed. And as I looked and tried to track them, this most recent one is about cuts to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services that would effectively dismantle the federal agency that helps keep Wisconsinites healthy and safe and people around the rest of the country. There's one trying to stop abrupt cuts to AmeriCorps, because dozens of programs and services at over 300 sites across Wisconsin are at risk. There's a lawsuit about all of the education cuts that Trump is making. There's one related to libraries and museums, one related to all of the firings of federal employees, including so many in Wisconsin. One about data access and the ongoing Trump and Elon Musk effort to get into your data. I mean, we will never hear about Hillary Clinton's emails anymore, especially as more has learned about just how much of your data can now be accessed by people like Elon Musk or whoever Donald Trump wants to share it with. But for Ron Johnson, all of this, still not enough. According to the Journal Sentinel, they spoke with him, and he says that what Republicans want to do for a budget needs deeper federal spending reductions. And he says, this is the Journal Sentinel's writing here, he is suggesting that concerns from his GOP colleagues over cuts to programs like Medicaid are complicating the process. He's mocking the folks saying, we can't touch that, we can't touch that, we can't touch that, and that it just justifies the spending. And he can't support anything that would continue to expand the deficit. And so he is saying right there, in tutting the people about cutting Medicaid, he's saying, cut your Medicaid, cut your access to health care. He is totally good with that. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Sherita Booker is next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Let us visit now with Sherita Booker. And it occurs to me that maybe your walk-up music should be that song Popular from Wicked, because we always talk about the most popular posts. So that makes you our popular person. Sherita Booker, our social media manager. How you doing?
Good, Pat. How are you? And I like that idea, by the way.
I know. I think that'd be great. It's sometimes our political posts that end up being the most engaged. Sometimes it's food and other fun things, but sometimes it's, you know, it's the heavier stuff. And as we looked at some of the more popular posts recently, certainly was the case that one with a guest about a weighty topic right from this here radio show, once we turned it into a social media post, got a lot of people's attention. Sheree, to tell us more.
Yeah, so Sarah Drever is from Eau Claire, and she is speaking out after Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Trump's pick for health secretary, made some shocking comments about autism. He suggested that autistic people can't really contribute to society and floated the idea of creating a national registry using their medical records. Sarah, who is also on the spectrum and was the guest on our radio show, she has 5-year-old twin boys with autism, and she told us that it's flat out wrong. She says her kids are smart, capable, and deserve better. Her message to Kennedy and Trump is to stop the harmful talk and start restoring funding for medical research. That post had almost 300 likes on our Instagram. And Donita Peterson said his comments prove how uneducated he is about autism spectrum disorder. They also prove that he refuses to educate himself about autism. And Mark Medding said he is the most uneducated and unqualified individual to ever hold this position. He needs to be removed ASAP before he sets health standards in America back years.
Well, unfortunately, I think that Robert Kennedy Jr. has already done that. Much like a lot of things that Trump has done, it will literally be years to overcome some of the damage. On the other hand, the closest thing that we have to a bright side on this is, much like a lot of the services that people are realizing that they are quite essential, people are also learning more about autism. And I really want to think that there are fewer people who are brought in by conspiracy theories on the internet and everything else that Robert Kennedy Jr. espouses, and are learning, much like Sarah said on our show, that we should be understanding those who are neurodivergent and not trying to look at them as some kind of being broken or a waste on society. And so I'm really thankful for Sarah's appearance. I'm really thankful for all the people that commented on it. Another one of the areas where, again, Trump has made everything worse is once again exacerbating racial divisions by once again looking to lift up Christopher Columbus at the expense of Indigenous Peoples Day. And obviously, this post got a lot of attention, too.
Yep. So Trump is vowing to bring back Columbus Day, and he wrote that on his social media platform, Truth Social. He accused Democrats of trying to erase Christopher Columbus and insult Italian Americans. But here's the fact. Columbus Day never actually went away. Under President Biden, it's still a federal holiday, but it's now also recognized as Indigenous Peoples Day, a move which was pushed by Native American advocates who say Columbus' legacy includes slavery, violence, and genocide. That post had almost 600 likes and more than 400 comments on our Facebook. Renee Habel said, odd that he's so inspired by who was likely the most criminal illegal immigrant in the history of the country. And Fabian Robinson said, time to check him out of the People's Hotel. Unworthy, unfit, unqualified, uncouth, worst of all, a danger to others.
What was that first comment? Inspired by who is likely the most criminal, illegal immigrant in the history of our country. Yes. That's great, Renee. Yes. That was such a spot on comment here. And of course, Trump is trying to turn it into something about, you know, being anti-Italian. Far from it. The Columbus Day was not so much about, I mean, there's are so many ways to celebrate Italian heritage and customs and everything. You don't have to do it with a colonizer who, again, his chief imports were disease and genocide and conquest and, you know, mass murder. So, yeah, it's something that Trump excels in and clearly, again, struck a nerve with folks who wanted to comment, including plenty of folks who wanted to be Trump apologists for it, too. So let's head over to something a little bit lighter and come back to the NFL draft. We still have some of the after effects in there, including posts about the draft that they weren't exactly about the draft, but they certainly were ways to pay tribute to Wisconsin count on J.J. Watt for one of those.
Yeah, so during NFL draft week, J.J. Watt put on his social media a picture of a Culver's meal, and he said, tip for all draft picks tonight. After you're done with phone calls, media interviews, photo shoots, etc., head over to Culver's. You're welcome. And that post had more than 13,000 likes and more than 300 comments on our Facebook, which is a ton. Hayden Michael said, and then pound some spotted cows. And Irene has said, J.J. Watt's advice, very Wisconsin and so cool. Also on the way home, grab something from Quick Trip, like some Glazers for breakfast.
Yeah, why not? I mean, go if you're coming to Wisconsin, you know, go the full Wisconsin while you're at it. So folks were, again, very much looking to welcome all the guests that came here, but also remind them that, you know, you don't just have to go to the draft and back. You can get yourself some cheese curds, get a cheesehead hat, all kinds of other things that can make the Wisconsin experience complete, shall we say. Sherita Booker, thanks so much, as always, for sharing the most popular posts, the positive ones and sometimes the not so positive ones, but they get people talking, and we appreciate that very much. Thanks, Sherita. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
And a reminder that Christina Lorre's coming up in just a bit, and we'll be talking about the impact of the Trump tariffs on small businesses in Wisconsin. Part of a very busy day here ahead of us, as we're going to hear just after the 7 o'clock news from Corrine Hendrickson about a day without childcare and some of the events that are planned for next Monday. We have so much more ahead here live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep up with all we're doing at Up North News. Sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com, including that new weekend Sunday morning edition I put together with a focus on Wisconsin politics. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Time for our weekly visit with Christina Lorre, who's our community editor, puts together our weekday morning newsletter and other posts that you can see throughout the day. Look for Up North News WI if you're on Facebook or other social media. Christina, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. We're going to start this week in the kitchen, and we're going to talk about tariffs and prices and something in the kitchen related to Penzi Spices. And this is where I get to mention that I've got a few Penzi spices, including one called Sandwich Sprinkle. And I cannot recommend it highly enough. No, it's not a commercial. This is just me saying I like it. It's got oregano and a few other things in there that just make every sandwich better. So now, having given my plug for Penzi's, now we can tell people why it's going to cost them more if they want to get their spices from Penzi's.
Well, it's funny you shouted out that particular spice. That's one of my favorites from them as well. So I wonder if it's one of their top sellers. We both didn't know that each other has it.
Wouldn't be surprised.
If you are in the market for Penzi's, just know that prices now are more expensive than they were this time last week because the owner had to increase them, and he's making sure his customers know who is directly responsible for that hike. So before he raised prices last week, he posted on his spice company's social media pages, elect a madman president, expect end of the world pricing. And he also put up welcome to Trump prices signs in his store's windows. And he explained just directly to have transparency with his customers, which I wish all owners would do. He explained that the first hike will be a small introductory 8.4% increase. And then once that's digested and, you know, he monitors to see how things are going, expect 2 to 3 more increases of roughly the same size to catch up to how much Trump's massive price spikes actually are. And, you know, he ended with a little bit ominous of a warning. Who knows where it all goes from there? And I feel like a lot of business owners are feeling, unfortunately, those same sentiments. We don't know what's ahead. That uncertainty has to be so frustrating and frightening for business owners. But I just wanted to give some attention to this story in particular, because as Pat and I both mentioned, we're both honest customers of this company. They're putting out a great product. They're trying to do their best, and This is one of those examples where you can't say, hey, why don't you just make your spices in America? Because we get Mexican our vanilla from America. So that 47% tariff on the country of Madagascar, who Trump suddenly has some crazy beef with, you know, maybe is it because of that DreamWorks movie from the early 2000s? I don't know what his beef is, but Madagascar vanilla is going to cost 47% more for Bill Penzi to buy. And right now he's only passing along 8% of that to you, but expect that, unfortunately, to climb over the next few months.
I did like that one. Sometimes people's politics kind of get in the way. And yes, I'm seeing the comments, nearly 2,000 comments on the Facebook post alone saying, well, he should get his spices in America. And it's really not how global trade works. I know Donald Trump's trying to convince you that everything can be made and built in America, and then you can just put up walls all around the country. That's not how the actual world works. I mean, if you all want to grow your own spices or flavorings or whatever, go to it. But this is how it happens. And this is what happens when you raise prices in this way. And for folks who are like, well, his politics get in the way. Hey, you're free to do that. Same goes for Minocqua Brewing Company. You don't have to buy their beer. Other people want to buy their beer because of their politics. And similarly, Christine, I'm sure you've seen this. There are websites that promote, quote unquote, you know, businesses that are very pro-Trump. But it too cuts both ways. Some people seek it out for business. Other people go, thank you for that list. Now I know where not to go with my business. And that's where we are in this day and age.
And I don't know any other way to explain this. So if any of your listeners have a suggestion for a way that we can help spread what's happening, you know, maybe you believed that tariffs would work initially and then you read something and now believe otherwise, I would love to know what changed your mind, because just scrolling through these comments on our Facebook page, it's really disheartening. Just the first few. Gary, why is it okay for other countries to charge us tariffs but not okay for us to charge them? Tommy saying, yeah, you go ahead and scream the TDS insanity and lose a ton of your customers. Thomas saying, how stupid must a person be to post these kind of prices and expect they belong to Trump? Like, these are just the top three comments so far. These are the ones that came in today. They keep coming. And it's just crazy.
Remember, it's in line with what we saw last week when the new GDP numbers came out and how Donald Trump said, oh, well, this is Biden's stock market. You know, that was still some kind of a hangover from the Biden presidency. This from the same president who back in January, before he took office, was taking credit for a rising stock market, saying, even though I'm not even in office yet, this is the Trump stock market. It's not Trump derangement syndrome, as people like to say. It's Trump deranged syndrome, and folks are buying into this a little harder than I would like to believe, you know, for this country, but you do. And so that's why I'm glad you made the point. When folks start seeing that tariffs in the way they're being applied here aren't working, I hope they just say so.
Well, and it is kind of funny. I would argue that Trump derangement syndrome is real, but it's just on the opposite side. The people who are trying to make any rational connection that Trump is doing a good job with the economy, those are the people with the real syndrome.
Well, and that's what we're seeing in the polling, is more and more people saying, I thought he was going to do this like an effective businessman with an audit and everything else. And instead, he came in all willy-nilly, and this is just not working out. And so this whole Penzi's price thing is just the latest point where we can talk about it, where it comes directly to people's kitchens, directly to their food budgets. And we're only going to see more of this until it all settles down.
And I know you usually bring me here for positive news, so I just want to add one positive angle to this, because it has seemed so like frightening and overwhelmingly negative. The point here is we get a lot of, you know, I'm sure you see them as well, terrible comments on posts like this, and negativity seems to bring out more negativity. And sometimes it seems like everyone is pro-Trump on these posts. But once you click on the see more section and get past the initial whiners, You have people like Nancy, who is, you know, stepping up to say, like, she was responding to a comment saying that, why don't we buy more American? She goes, and Turkish oregano, Hungarian paprika, Vietnamese cinnamon, and all the wonderful, fragrant, exotic spices we make here in America. Yeah, sure. So standing up for the right thing. And then, you know, then the good fact-based people chime in. But it's definitely seems like a lot sometimes. Just wanted to point out a little positive.
The next thing that I wanted to talk about gets us away from the heavy political news. And it gets into, we're getting into the road trip season. And a lot of things that we talk about that you can see around Wisconsin. But let me amend that to say in and around Wisconsin, because there was a post that you put up last year. I recall talking about it with Sherita when we were talking about popular posts. And this one really struck a chord with folks, all about, how did you put it? The shortest, steepest railroad out there?
So often you always ask me to bring, obviously, stories from Wisconsin. You might be wondering, this elevator is based in Iowa. Why are we talking about it? It's right across the Mississippi in Dubuque, so you can actually see a ton of the state of Wisconsin from the top of the shortest, steepest elevator. It's called the Fenelon Place Elevator, also known as the 4th Street Elevator nowadays. They're used interchangeably. And it's 296 feet long, not very long at all, but it angles up at 41 degrees. So you're taking a vertical elevation of 189 feet in a very short amount of time. And at the top, there are two different observation decks, which have unobstructed views of Wisconsin, Illinois, and Iowa. And what's really interesting is the reason why this railroad was built in the first place. So it's been around since 1884, and it was built by a very rich banker who lived at the top of the hill, but worked at the bottom, and his trip back home to go eat lunch would take almost an hour, the way that the roads went nowadays. So he built this just so he could eat home at his house. So talk about extravagant. But he left behind this really cool historical artifact. Initially, all along, he's been sharing rides. So, you know, this wasn't just for his personal use. Back in 1884, he offered rides for 5 cents. Nowadays, they're, you know, blame inflation. They're up to $2 each way.
No.
It's still a very low-cost way to enjoy the afternoon, the elevator. It runs daily from April 1st through November 30th. So you have until after Thanksgiving to enjoy a nice ride in 2025.
And it does, whether you call it a, you know, a railroad, an elevator, a funicular, a cable car, whatever. These things, I'm not going to lie, they kind of freak me out. I've been on similar things before. And that's about as much of a thrill ride as I care to take. But I will say that when you get to the top of things like these, you know, the views really are breathtaking.
Yes. And it's just it's a fun, low cost way to do something different. I'm trying to get better and more intentional about that. I've lived in Wisconsin for 8 years now, and I feel like there are so many great things in our state that I just, you know, I always think, hey, I should do that sometime. And then just wait. Like, I've still never been to Devil's Lake State Park. It's not very far from me. That's on my list of things to do this summer. It's sometimes nice to be a tourist in your own backyard, however cheesy that might be.
Let's come back to the NFL draft for a moment, because we're still learning a bit about the economic impact of it in the Green Bay area and what a positive it was for the region.
Yes. So the final numbers have been trickling in, and, you know, we all saw the initial attendance estimates that it was 600,000 fans over the course of 3 days. That's the largest crowd ever in Green Bay history. But it was also watched on TV by 7.5 million viewers, which the unintended effect of that is that it's estimated to be worth about $40 million in free TV and social media exposure. And then on top of that, the 600,000 fans that came in person, they generated about $20 million in local revenue for the Green Bay area. And then get this, $94 million overall in economic impact for the state of Wisconsin. That is huge. I just want to give a big kudos to the Packers for Mark Murphy pushing for this for the past decade, for Green Bay to finally host a draft, the smallest market in the NFL. it's not only great for the Packers, but it's been great for the entire state. So even if you weren't following where any player ended up, you could care less. At least you can hopefully care about the money that it's making you indirectly through our state.
That's it. Yes, exactly. For all of this and more, check out what Christina Laurie's working on social media and in our newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Thanks, Christina. Have a great day.
You too.
I do want to get something off my chest, though, in talking about the tariffs and things, because I saw it again in newscasts on TV today. And the ones that are saying, economists say tariffs are inflationary. It's not. Don't couch it. Tariffs are inflationary unless you believe in the benevolence of certain corporations that say, oh, we will eat the cost. Where you find a corporation saying they'll eat the cost of tariffs, by all means, trumpet it. But you're pretty safe in assuming it's going to get passed on to consumers and raise inflation. That's what it's designed to do. Dan Hagen and today's history lesson are coming up next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I know that if I didn't say this, Greg Bach would. But given that Dan Hagen's joining us and he's in a house someplace, right. When you heard the opening there, you did imagine that Dan Hagen was sliding across in a dress shirt in his underwear and singing along to Bob Seger, just like in the movie, right?
Nope.
Absolutely. Wrong. I definitely know what movie you're talking about, but for the people who don't at home, Pat, I think you should explain.
I just did. Risky Business. Tom Cruise dancing in his tighty whities.
I would like to clarify for the record, I did not think of Dan doing any of those things.
I thought it'd be fun. Bob Seger is 80 years old today. The mayor of Michigan. Look, let me, for folks that might not be of a certain age, okay? These are the singles. Still the Same, Hollywood Nights, Trying to Live My Life Without You, Old Time Rock and Roll there, Her Strut, Shame on the Moon, Roll Me Away, Even Now, You'll Accompany Me, Fire Lake, Against the Wind, We've Got Tonight, Like a Rock, Shakedown, Main Street, and if all those weren't enough, for the Eagles, he wrote a little song called Heartache Tonight. That man's had a good run for 80 years.
He also wrote Turn the Page, which is an amazing song.
Oh, I don't even have Turn the Page. Yes, exactly. Just the guy... I can't give enough praise, especially on a milestone birthday like this. Willie Mays would have been 94 years old today. He passed away last June, one of baseball's greatest. George Clooney is 64 years old today. And Meek Mill is 38, to which I asked the crew during the break, can anybody tell me about Meek Mill? Tony's on it on YouTube. Meek Mill is a boss.
Not when he's rapping against other guys. He always usually lose those beefs, but you know. It's fun.
I got nothing, Dan. Meek Mill, anything over there?
Yeah, no. I have no knowledge of rap whatsoever. Okay.
All right. Well, let's go. Yeah. Let's go back a ways then. Let's go to 1965. James Brown hopped into a recording studio on this day 60 years ago today and did this. Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. Pretty good. Not bad for a day's work in the studio. Again, 60 years ago today. 60 years ago tonight, also this day in 1965, at a hotel in Clearwater, Florida, Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones couldn't fall asleep. There was a guitar riff running through his head. He rolls a tape. He falls asleep. He wakes up in the morning to find out that at some point he had recorded the riff to what would become this hit. You know, I mean, Dan, you do that all the time. Don't you have a tape recorder on the nightstand? You wake up and a beautiful news story's been written for you?
Yeah, not quite. But I have a long notes app of jokes, I want to say, for my stand-up bit that will never happen. And
Wait a minute. Stand-up bit?
Yeah.
Have you met Greg Bach? Greg Bach, are you aware?
Greg, are you a stand-up comedian?
Some would say, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Dan, Greg is part owner of a comedy club in Milwaukee.
Oh my gosh, Greg. Okay. Well, here's a joke that I don't think is mine originally, but as a comedian, you either have to like write your joke down when you think of it at night, or convince yourself it's not that funny.
Mm. No, well, you write it down and then you try it at an open mic and you find out there if it's got legs. It doesn't actually even have to get laughs. If you feel like you've got something there, you keep working on it, and if it doesn't get laughs, then you throw it away.
I see.
You two were about to do the romantic advice show. I think we got to do the behind the curtain on comedy thing here.
Well,
as
great.
We lead up to Dan's big premiere at
you
the Laughing Town.
You could be my mentor. You know, we could do like a montage video of me doing bits.
Just show you running down the streets, writing down jokes.
You could be the Gordon Ramsay to his junior chef over here.
I would love to be that rich.
No, I just meant yell at him a lot and say, you're not doing it right, and, just as a mentor. This day in 1972, Elton John had a new single come out.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time.
What was that, 53 years ago today? A lot of little historical notes. Well, not so little. The Eiffel Tower, that's big, officially opened to the public this day in 1889. Babe Ruth, who was then a pitcher for the Boston Red Sox, hit his first Major League home run this day in 1915. 713 more would follow.
And then they were like, you know what's really great? He's really great. Let's get him to the Yankees.
Yeah, right? Good job, Red Sox. The Hindenburg disaster happened this day in 1937. On this day in 1940, John Steinbeck was awarded the Pulitzer Prize for The Grapes of Wrath. And on this day in 1954, Roger Bannister became the first person to run the mile in under 4 minutes. And people said, oh, that's freakish. That'll never happen again. And it did. I don't know. What's your best mile over there, Dan?
I think I did it in under 6 in high school. But
seriously? Wow.
Yeah. I'm an endurance athlete. I do the Birkebeiner every year, so try to stay fit.
Hey, good for you. We already mentioned yesterday National Nurses Week, National Teachers Week. This is also National Nurses Day, National Teachers Day, and World Asthma Day as well. What have you been working on there at Newswatch 12, WJFW, and Rhinelander these days?
That's right.
I was going to say the obligatory Hodag Dome question.
The Hodag Dome story. So we are all systems go. The exterior holes have been filled. We're working on the interior holes. However, there's been damage to the track and the pickleball courts / tennis courts.
How big is this thing?
It's big.
It's a football field and a half, probably.
Yeah.
Wow.
The goal is
to have it graduation in the Hodag Dome by the end of, in June, but have it open by the end of May.
That would be great. All right. And, then one other story we'll have to tackle some other time is Howard Young Medical Center up there puts on a display of all the lures, fishing lures, that they've taken out of anglers in emergency rooms.
That's right. Yeah. I went out an opening weekend and didn't even get a nibble. But for the people who get a bite right on their hand like this, Howard Young will take it out and put it on their nice little display.
On the display for you. Yeah. Oh, I love it. All right. Hey, Dan Hagen, thank you so much. Catch him on Newswatch 12 up in Rhinelander. Have a great day.
You guys as well.
All right. So much more ahead in the next hour here of Mornings with Pat Kreitler, powered by Up North News. I'm the aforementioned Pat Kreitler.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.